You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Curtain of Theater people, and welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket. My name is Sean Chandler, and I'll be your host. Your Program Is Your Ticket is a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. As many of you know, Your Program Is Your Ticket is a helpful system where your program is literally your ticket to get into the theater and smaller, more intimate productions. It's these works we like to highlight, and it's our goal on this show to feature as many of these productions as possible while still discussing the biggies. My guests on tonight's show are the cast and creative team of Interstate, a new musical featured in the 2018 New York Musical Festival, with book and lyrics by Kit Yan and Melissa Lee, who also wrote the music. Here's a description of the production taken directly from the New York Musical Festival website. Interstate is an Asian-American pop-rock poetry musical about Dash, a transgendered spoken word performer, and his best friend, Adrian, a lesbian singer-songwriter. Together, they are Queer Melody, an internet-famous activist band on their first road trip across America. Their political and personal music inspires Henry, a transgender teenager vlogger living in small-town middle America, to set out on a quest to meet his heroes in person, hoping to find answers to his struggles. It sounds extremely edifying in the most powerful of ways, and I can't wait to hear more about it, so let's bring him on. Hi, cast and creative team of Interstate, and welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. It's so nice to have you. Are you enjoying the experience so far?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Isn't it really cool? I mean, it's so fast, but
Oh, yes. It's
fun and it's super cool. Why don't we start by going around the circle here and giving us your name and role or job or both on Interstate.
Jesse Hill, director.
I'm Kit Yan. I'm one of the writers.
I'm Melissa Lee. I'm the composer as well as one of the writers.
I'm Angel Lin. I am one of the actors. I play Adrian Yee.
I'm Sushma Saha. I'm also one of the actors, and I play Henry.
Excellent. And we have background music, just so you know. We have people who are singing. We are in a rehearsal space here, as are a lot of my interviews conducted. So you'll hear stuff in the background, and that's theater for you. So cool. Why don't you go into a little more detail about the upcoming production of Interstate? You could start with how you came up with the premise, the characters, the plot line. Let's just start with that. Creators?
Yeah, so Kit and I were, maybe about 10 years ago, we were in a band called Good Asian Drivers, and Kit is a spoken word artist, and I'm a singer-songwriter, and we met in Boston. We were performing at this monthly queer cabaret there, and one day Kit came up to me and was like, let's go on tour together, let's quit our job. So that's what we did as Good Asian Drivers.
Cool.
And we did that from 2008 to about 2010, during which time a lot of dramatic things happened, a lot of bad drama happened on the road.
Car accidents, love triangle, jealousy about egos and who's a star on stage, weird tokenization, racism, misogyny, queer and transphobia.
Yes. And then so the band broke up.
Long story short.
I can't imagine why.
Exactly. So we didn't talk to each other for 2 years. And during those 2 years, Kit had written a bunch of poems about his experience, about our experience. And when we did finally make up, you know, he came up to me and he was like, oh, I'd written all these poems. And I looked at them and I was like, these are terrible.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I know. That's why I'm showing them to you.
Yeah.
Which is why I brought them back to show them to Melissa in Prospect Park, and I was like, read these poems. She was like, they're bad. And I said, what do you think about making them a musical? Which I didn't really know what that was back then, like how to make a musical, but I known that Melissa had written one and had won a Jonathan Larson Award for it.
Wow, congratulations.
But, yeah.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I didn't know what a Jonathan Larson Award was or who he was and why he was giving out awards. Now I do. Now I know it's a big deal. But I had asked Melissa if she wanted to turn these shitty poems into a musical, and she was like, yeah, let me do over this whole thing you did.
I think I said no at first because after my first musical, I was like, I never want to write another musical again. It's so hard. But then, you know, you convinced me, so
It takes a long time to write a musical.
Yeah.
It's like a good 3 to 4, I remember my first musical that I wrote with my musical co-writer, he was like, are you ready for a 3 to 4 year experience on this? And I'm, oh, sure, why not? And like the 50th draft, I'm like, oh my God. Right. That's wild. So is the nucleus of the show based upon your experience in the band together? And then, so I would imagine that's where it started. And then how did it evolve into like the plot line and the characters you have now?
Well, then we met Jesse, and I don't know if you want to talk about the way we all came together.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, Melissa and I were introduced by a mutual friend whose job at the time was to match up people who he thought would make good work together, and it felt kind of like he was plucking us out and just introduced us. We both lived very close to each other in Brooklyn. And we just met and started to talk about the things that we were interested in working on, and we're kind of brainstorming about creating a musical. And little did I know, I didn't know Kit at the time, they were going through the experience that they just described, which is reconciling their relationship after 2 years.
Wow.
So it all just kind of started to make sense that we would kind of converge all of the things that we were talking about and work together on the project.
Wow.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
That's okay. So do you sort of relive the experience a little bit in writing? And if you did that, did it give you a little bit of space from it? Did it become a little bit more like just another thing? You know what I'm saying? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. I feel like the 2 years that we weren't talking to each other was the space that we needed. I don't think it was like we were really reliving it but it was more like nostalgic, like, oh, this was a thing that had happened. Let's put it in the show. And it also evolved in the last 5 years. So I guess it's been 5 years now since we've been working on it. And each year we're working on it, we always rewrite it, much to Jesse's chagrin. Jesse's like, oh God, we're rewriting the whole thing again. Now there's a whole new character, and we cut a whole other character out.
Yeah.
So this has been like the fourth version, really, of the show.
Each version has been a vast improvement, and it really has found what it wants to be.
Yeah. We did, as far as the development history, we did a one-night reading at Dixon Place. Jesse's been with us the whole time. Then we did a private 2-week workshop at Project Reach with the support of Fei Chang, a community activist who this production is dedicated to.
Wow.
Then we did a 29-hour reading with the help of a couple of friends of ours who are producers.
What's a 29-hour reading? What's that?
Technically, it's when we only have 29 hours to rehearse.
Under an equity contract to workshop.
Wow. Okay. All right. Cool. Go on.
And we did that for just one performance only, industry only invite. And then we did a musical theater factory residency right here at Playwrights Downtown.
Nice.
And then New York Musical Festival.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great production history. That's a nice little pedigree that you have going on there. Congratulations on that. And I think it's really interesting that you as a director, Jesse, have been on very, very early on. That's not typically the case.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you bring in the director when you're ready for the production. So is it, I know the director is the visionary of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So when they bring you new material, how do you work that into your vision? Do you just go, okay, let me think about it for a few days?
Well, it's helpful that I've been involved in the conversations from the beginning, and I've seen all the different versions and understood all the reasons why characters have come and gone and storylines have come and gone and evolved and changed. And so I really was acting as a script consultant and a dramaturg, and also somebody who was giving them deadlines and, you know, all the things that we want out of these development processes where we're working towards something. So it's just been a kind of a natural progression. I've had a lot of time to think about logistically how to execute the scenes on stage, and we do have a kind of shorthand around some of the things that we want to have happen for the characters, and a shorthand in our collaboration. So when we make discoveries in the room, it's a conversation that we're very used to having. We're very used to batting ideas around and trying these things and ditching things that don't work on the fly. And it's just how we've been rolling through this process for all this time. So it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy going and fun.
That's great. I often tell people when they say, what's it like to write something? I'll say, you start with, like, you have to make a million decisions. And then you make less decisions and less decisions and less decisions. But the less decisions that you make, the bigger the decisions are. And it sort of like expands and contracts and expands and contracts. So it's nice that you were there to help. It's nice to have an objective voice with the writers. You know, because when you're the writers, you're kind of like, wouldn't you say that you're, I mean, you're in it. You're it, and you're not seeing it from outside. Would you agree? Is that is that something that you experience?
So. Yeah. I think it's possible to get, you know, too close to it because you've been writing it for so many years. Yeah.
Right. So great to have an objective voice.
Yeah.
Jesse, you're so soft-spoken. Is Jesse a soft-spoken director in the rehearsal room and on stage? Actors, tell me about that. How are rehearsals going?
Rehearsals, I'm having a blast.
Are you?
This is I tell my friends and family, like, this is the most fulfilling theatrical experience of my life thus far.
Really?
Cool. Yeah, I'm young. I'm, you know, 20. But, like, but, you know, it's still the most fulfilling, and I'm happy to say that. No, the cast and crew are all really close, I think. I think we're all, like, helping each other through this kind of hectic process. It doesn't feel hectic because of that, because we're all there for each other.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I wouldn't call Jesse soft-spoken. I would call Jesse, like, this powerful force that isn't necessarily always vocal, but she's always there. And, like, I always feel like you there with us when we're making choices, when we're moving about the stage, when we're singing. You're just, I feel that, and it's so supportive and makes you feel like you want to make stronger choices. And that's how I feel about that.
Basically, you feel her presence throughout the entire process. And you, and I guess, like, going off of what Sushma said, like, this whole process is, in fact, hectic. I mean, like, I've done many workshops in, like, small, like productions where, like, the time constraint is, like, a huge thing. And it is for this production and for many other, like, Nymph productions, too, as Nymph always is. But, again, like, our team is awesome, and the group of people that we have are just an amazing, like, talented,
so,
and just
talented.
Warm group of people that really are just, like, putting everything and their heart into it, and, like, that makes this process so much easier and, like, rewarding too.
Tell me about some of the people that aren't here that you'd like to talk about. Do you have a lighting designer, sound, musical director? I mean, tell me about those people.
There are, like, 40 people that are not here right now.
Yeah, it's a full design team. It's kind of amazing to think about, you know, out of all the different development processes that we've taken this through, this is the first time that I've had the opportunity to actually stage the piece.
Wow.
So it's a luxury to be able to have a full, just top-notch design team.
Oh, yeah.
Who's there as a sounding board every step of the way. And, you know, this isn't the full, you know, dream version of the production. This is us really working this out so that it can take another step.
Sure.
So we made sure that we had the best team that we could find. Mm-hmm. And it was actually so wonderful to be able to approach the exact designers that I wanted, and they read the piece and listened to the music, and they rearranged their schedules to be involved.
They really?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm also aware that I feel like they're all amazingly talented and so good at what they do. But also, I think aren't, like, the majority of them, or most of them, either women/non-binary or trans, people of color and queer, or, like, some combination of the three. So basically, I haven't met a cisgendered straight white man who's been part of the process.
Kit says that the show is made for the people by the people. Which is literally, you know, it's people who are in this story. And
in this
those
community.
Those kind of people are making it happen.
Yeah.
During this process.
Talk about that, Kit.
Yeah, you know, when we set out to put the team together for this production, we took a look at the story first, and we said, who's on stage? Who are we? What are the characters doing in this world? And we wanted to have a creative team that reflected that. Mm. Not just a creative team, a producing team and a production team in addition to the cast and creatives. So we put a lot of effort into making sure that the space was not just diverse, but like safe. You know, when you create a space that gives everyone a platform to bring their own identities and unique individual voices to something, then it really creates a lot of opportunity for folks to be honest with each other about the story we're trying to tell, to hold each other accountable to the story we're trying to tell, to ask the right questions or call each other out when it's necessary, or to help improve the piece. It's we've really created an environment where that's possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Very nice. Actors, tell me about your characters.
Want me to go first?
Okay, sure, why not? I almost spilled something, but I'm okay. So Adrian Yi is one half of the dynamic duo that is Queer Malady, which is the Asian-American queer band that takes their national tour across the U.S. So the other half is Dash Koi, who is the spoken word trans spoken word artist, and Adrienne is a lesbian singer songwriter. So she thinks of herself as kind of like the brains behind the music of it. And she plays guitar in the show. I play guitar in the show. She's kind of like just this badass rocker. And I guess along the way, on the tour, you know, Dash and Adrian are best friends, but as the tour moves on and they go through their lives, they start discovering things about themselves and their identity and their relationship to each other. I don't want to give too much away, but things happen, and Adrian and Dash have to analyze and observe their relationship and what they mean to each other.
Hmm.
As the tour happens and moves on, a lot of drama, and I guess like as Melissa and Kit said before, drama happens, and I think it's really this musical itself, in addition to Henry's storyline, is a story about coming of age and growing up. Henry is an actual teenager, and then afterwards Adrian and Dash are sort of like in their early 20s, and they're wide-eyed and super naive and excited about making art and spreading their word out to the masses. But I guess along the tour, they grow up and they learn some things, and things happen, and it affects their relationship and makes them rethink about what art is and what it means to be a friend and to be in love with someone.
Great. Is it okay that I'm kind of puzzling it all together?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And then I play Henry.
Okay.
A 16-year-old transgender FTM, female to male, kid who lives in Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. So, I mean, all those things aside, like, Henry is just, like, for me, like, the joy of playing him is just, like, he's so... The book was so well done that, like, it's just so clear that he's such an empathetic person. Like, he feels everything so deeply. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens, whether it's good or bad, he takes it all in, and it takes over him. And he's empathetic. He's funny. He's smart. But unfortunately, his circumstances, given, you know, not his body, identifying with the way that he feels inside, and
sure,
living in this small town in a not forgiving, you know, place, and, you know, with his religion and everything.
What's his religion?
Christianity.
Okay.
Yeah. And he finds this band on the internet, Queer Malady, with Dash and Adrian, and their music and their spoken word helps him kind of realize that he's not the only one, and actually helps give him vocabulary to how he does feel, and helps him realize that he is transgender. And their music and their words help him find who he is and help him take risks and delve deeper into kind of realizing that it's okay to be who he is, and then, you know, and he's already a great guy, but like to have this band kind of, it shows the power of music and art and how that can help change somebody and help them come back to who they are. So I'm so fortunate to play this role. I'm in love with Henry. He's the best. So
yeah, I think like one thing that we can agree on, like especially like as actors and inhabiting these roles, they may be like very specific in terms of like being trans, being queer, being Asian American, but the things that they go through is just so universal, and anyone can relate to them. Like sure. People have, you know, experience unrequited, like anyone has, like a lot of people have experienced unrequited love or feeling like they don't belong. And sort of all of those themes are sort of wrapped around and basically in this musical shown through a queer Asian American lens.
And that can show people that minority groups, like they go through the same things and that they deserve to represent those stories on stage. And yeah. I feel like that hasn't happened a lot in the past. So to have that kind of happen now and to show that, like, it's all one big story and we're also a part of it is so important. And as somebody who has never played an Indian person, nor like a queer person who's also Indian, this is like a huge deal for me, because I finally found a role that like I've never felt closer to home with ever. So it's just so special. It's so special.
Excellent. Yeah. Creative team, how does it feel to have your actors speak like that about what you've written and what you're directing and what you've shaped? How does it feel?
It's just our dream for it. We've had an opportunity to work with a lot of people in every incarnation who've become a part of, I think, what we would consider a creative family, who keep coming out and supporting the work and making sure that each incarnation happens and that the growth happens. So to hear it is just a dream come true, because we put a lot of care and a lot of thought into making sure that the people who should be playing these roles are playing these roles. And it's required us taking things into our own hands a little bit and not depending on other people to do that work, to show that it is possible and that the people that we're representing are actually out there in the world to be in a piece like this.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Writers, how does it feel to hear your actors talk about their characters like that?
You know, the first thing that came to mind when I heard the both of you talk a little bit about the the piece is that, you know, we really aimed to write a piece that was extremely specific. And I think that it's a success of this piece that the specificity is universal.
Oh, yeah.
Because when
you
watch a show like that, you go, all right, it's these folks' stories, and then it helps you reflect on what is my story, instead of seeing a piece that goes, we are all one, which sort of is like the big larger conversation in creating, casting, producing, etc., that's happening in theater. And like, this is the conversation I feel like we should be having.
Yes.
Like, who's, you know, why are we writing this story, and whose story is it? And then, like, why is that important? And then, how do we respond to that? That was the first thing that happened. So it was really, like, so wonderful to hear you say that and to feel that come through.
Melissa, what about you? You're awfully quiet over there.
Melissa's generally the quiet.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I agree with what Kit said. I think in general, my style of composing is I sort of tend to write music that that anyone can relate to. So the story is specific and the characters are specific, but, you know, it's the kind of music that anyone can hum to and like and enjoy.
By the way, the music, they're all bops. They're all great. They're all so
good. Get in your head.
I listen to it. I sing it every day.
I watched a few videos and yeah, the music is lovely.
So good.
It really is. It's terrific. Well, I could talk to all of you like for another 2 hours. It's so wonderful. But we need to wrap up. Before we do, would you like to give out your social media information for the show, as well as any individual social media information, and discuss anything that you may be working on in the future you want to talk about? Let's start with the show.
Sure. Yes, you can find us at interstatemusical.com for any up-to-date news.
You got a .com. That's excellent. Cool.
You can also find us on Facebook, Interstate Musical, Instagram at Interstate Musical. Twitter's a little bit different. It's Interstate with the number 8 Musical.
Clever.
And so that is Interstate's handle.
Okay, what about you?
Oh, me, I'm at Melsaboo, M-E-L-S-A-B-O-O, pretty much everywhere. So you can find me.
Okay. Anywhere. Excellent. Kit?
I'm the same. I'm at kityanpoet.com and then at kityanpoet on all social media handles. And Melissa and I are working on something new next. We just completed a residency with the Village Theater to start our next musical, which is going to be an 80s dance musical.
I love it!
Featuring and centering even more queer and trans voices.
Excellent.
So, 2 characters? No. 14.
Hey, hey,
is coming up next.
You're going to need like a dry erase board with PowerPoint. That's terrific. Congratulations on that. What an excellent get for both of you. Okay? Jesse?
This show is going to force me to get all sort of tweeting handles.
Tweeting handles.
That's okay. Not everybody is.
Sorry, I don't have anything to promote right now except Interstate. So.
Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook.
Okay.
Reluctantly.
Don't find me.
Don't pretend.
Please do not friend me.
Now, I know you two must be everywhere, right?
Trying to be. I mean, okay, so I'm basically at Sushma Saha, so S-U-S-H-M-A-S-A-H-A on most of my social media, except for Instagram. On Instagram, I am at Sushma Saha ha ha, because...
Awesome.
Yep. I laugh a lot. No, but as of right now, I'm currently organizing this is the second year that I'll be doing a cabaret fundraiser for this charity that I was introduced to while at college, Ithaca College, called Wheels for Women. It is a charity that helps raise money for women who escaped abusive families and relationships in India, and there's a shelter in Kerala, India, that houses them, and so the money goes towards the shelter, and as well as buying the shelter rickshaws, which help women to not only like learn to drive them so they're able to be employed, but also to go on rescue missions to save other women in abusive families and relationships. So I'll be doing a cabaret in my hometown, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. So I'll be promoting that on my social media. And so if you're able to come by, it's an hour. It's one night only. But it'll just be me singing musical theater songs, hoping to raise some money.
Yeah. Last year we
raised $1,000. So this year we're hoping to raise $2,000. And I hope to do it next year. So if you're around the area, please come.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Angel in here. My website is www.angeldoesthings.com. You can find most of my social media handles, but I'm just going to say them now. My Instagram is Angel Sees Things, as in like visually sees things. So Angel S-E-E-S Things. And then my Twitter is Angel Says Things. I really wish they were all one thing, but just That's someone, great. Some bastard took those
oh,
handles.
Call them out.
Some bastard took those handles on Instagram and Twitter by the time I got on. So.
Hence me saying, you guys got a .com. You got to be fast.
Speaking of podcasts, I am also on a new podcast called A World Where, which is kind of like a podcast version of The Twilight Zone / Black Mirror. I play a doctor who does brain augmentation surgery. You can find them on Instagram at World Where Pod, and you can also find them on SoundCloud, A World Where. Next up, I actually, at NIMF, I'll be... after Interstate is done, I'll be taking part of a concert series. I don't know what it is called yet, but it's a concert series that features several 30-minute musicals, and I believe it goes up July 30th, and so you can, after Interstate, you can see me in that as well, and I'll be actor-musicianing in that as well.
Excellent. You're also busy. It's great. I love that. Yes, stay busy. Keep busy. It's wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us, cast and creative team of the upcoming New York Musical Festival production of Interstate. You're all amazing. I wish you metaphorical broken legs, and I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Of course.
It's my pleasure. Well, folks, the proverbial 11 o'clock number has been sung and the bows have been taken, so it's time to lower the curtain. Once again, big thanks to the casting creative of Interstate. They were sensational. Don't forget to check out the New York Musical Festival opening Monday, July 9th, with, I believe, Interstate being one of the opening night productions. Did I get that right?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. You can find more information at nymf.org, nymf.org. As for me, you can find more episodes of Your Program Is Your Ticket at facebook.com, Your Program Is Your Ticket. I'm on Twitter at Program Ticket. The website is yourprogramisyourticket.com. I got one, too. a quick thanks to North Coast NYC, the hip-hop improv theater ensemble that does my intro and outro music. You might be hearing it right now. If not, just wait a few seconds and you'll start hearing it. Your Program Is Your Ticket is on iTunes and SoundCloud. Rate me, write me a review, and subscribe. It helps with my profile, and I appreciate it. Folks, take a little time to see a show this week, and don't forget to give a smaller show some love. There's lots of theater gems out there. Until our next show, good night, theater people, and curtain.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.